favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
I like all right. how I by far have the most full shot of Soju.
Is it?
I know. Can we get a little bit more? Or can I get a little bit more, please?
Oh, shit. My bad.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to reach Webster's level. Of alcohol, not coolness, because I surpassed that a long time ago.
I was going to say, you can only dream of achieving my level of coolness. Also, I've been drinking all day.
Drinking all day and eating pizza and shit? My gosh.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Has anybody made that joke yet on Turning Tail?
No!
No?
I don't think so.
Keep rolling. Oh, all right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby.
I love it.
You know what time it is.
All right, you guys ready? We're going to... introduce this podcast. Take a shot.
Take a shot. Take a shot.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Cheers, y'all.
Our first Arnold movie. Our first Arnold movie.
Yep. All right. Cheers. Hey, cheers.
Hey.
Cheers. Mm. Well, that's really good. Oh, that's good.
That's going to get us the chopper right there, baby. Yeah. I forgot how many fucking iconic lines were in this movie.
Dude, there are a lot of good ones. Mm. There might be even some that I haven't even thrown in the script here. I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, by all means, if you guys have seen it recently.
Yeah. You know what? It's so funny because I was like a Predator 2 stan for years, for decades. But after this screening, I'm like, oh, no. It's good, but no.
That's fucking awesome. Where'd you see it?
HBO Max?
No, I thought you saw it like on the big screen. I thought you saw it like on screen, like
I slapped it on my projector.
Oh, well, yeah, you do have a big screen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just slapped it on.
That's the only big thing you have.
Yeah, as far as visible on the outside, yes.
I don't even know, man. I came out fighting today. I was born, and this morning
you just read the tarot cards. It's like, yes, that is a positive affirmation right there. I'm rocking with that confidence right there, baby.
All right. Are we ready to get started now
let's
that we are freshly soju'd up?
Yes. Yes, let's do it.
Hell yeah. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, Anthony Fuentes.
You son of a bitch.
And Phil Acevedo.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
I don't have time to bleed.
Oh, there she goes.
Look at you! Look at you!
Welcome, guys. It's going to be a fun one. Welcome to our second week of Monster May. We are talking about, of course, if you couldn't guess already, we're talking about Predator. From 1987?
1987, yeah. Oh, I did not put the
year
in.
No. Oh, it is 1987.
It is 1987.
Very glorious year.
The glorious year of 1987.
Glorious 1987. I was at the end, but I made it, yes.
The glorious year of 1987. Very excited to talk about this one. There's been a lot of hullabaloo, one might say, in the group chat over this movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited to talk about it, so... without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Let's do it. Alex, since, you know, you already got the steam rolling right here, why don't you lead us to the IMDb synopsis, please?
Hell yeah. IMDb synopsis says, a team of commandos on a mission in a Central American jungle find themselves hunted by an extraterrestrial warrior.
Okay.
Hey, actually, that's probably the best one we've had in a while.
IMDb rating, I'd probably say 8 out of 10 for accuracy, I guess.
Nailed it. I like extraterrestrial warrior.
It's a long sentence.
IMDb synopsis rating, pretty above average.
All right.
Yeah. Want me to keep going?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So this was written by Jim Thomas and John Thomas, and in case you couldn't have guessed it, yes, they are brothers.
Man, poor Jerry Thomas just had a closet. Just like,
Jesse Thomas.
Jesse Thomas. And then the sister, Janie Thomas. And she's a hooker.
and the other brother, Jamal.
Jamal Thomas.
God damn it. This was directed by John McTiernan.
McTiernan, yes. Yes. Yes.
One of the goats.
Yeah, for real.
What was it? The Michael Bay of the 80s?
From the Honest Trailer?
The Honest Trailer.
But better. But better, for sure.
Dude, McTiernan rules. This is this was his second movie, Predator.
Damn. Yeah,
That's awesome. Yeah. This movie is starring... it's starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I think... it should say Phil Acevedo.
Look at you! I was like, where are you going with this?
Of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Carl Weathers.
Ooh, that boy's got a stew going over there.
Yeah. Elpidia?
Elpidia, yeah.
Caria? Caria?
Yeah.
Bill Duke. Jesse Ventura.
Jesse the Body Ventura. Jesse the Body.
Or as he's supposed to say, former Minnesota governor.
Former Minnesota governor. Or these days, champion.
Or these days, let me tell you something right now, Joe Rogan, why we gotta legalize marijuana. It's very, very, it's a very good product right now, and the USA needs to legalize it for the millionth time. That dude is, I don't know if you guys keep up with Jesse Ventura these days, but he is big on two things. Weed and aliens.
Yeah.
And he wants to legalize both.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in this movie protecting a grow house in the jungle. That's what was happening right there. Yeah.
You could tell because he had a fucking whole grow house in the fucking, in his fucking lip.
Yo, absolutely. Just smuggle that shit right there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Landham and Shane Black also.
Mm-hmm. Shane Black.
Apparently, they kept Shane Black in this because he was a writer.
Yep.
He is nowhere near as like macho as the rest of the guys. But
he's the guy with the glasses.
Yeah, he literally is. Mm-hmm. And but
Anthony Fuentes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He's the Anthony Fuentes of the group.
Yep. I am just there for the creative input when needed.
And the jokes. And the jokes.
Also, like it's rough because we all wear glasses, so yeah. We are the guy with the glasses. But
I am the smallest boy with the glasses.
you are the smallest little boy.
Oh man. That's so funny.
So this movie had an $18 million budget and a gross earning of $98.3 million, which I was expecting more considering how much people fucking love this movie.
Yeah, at the time, it was
pretty good.
It was solid, actually, yeah. But the thing that was really kicking ass was the Beverly Hills Cop movies and the Lethal Weapon movies.
Mm.
So another new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, I guess like... They were nowhere near, like, the Arnold fatigue, but they were just like, okay, a new Arnold movie, okay, cool, but, like, let's watch Beverly Hills Cop 2, though, man, or, like, the new Lethal Weapon. So, like, yeah, it made good numbers, for sure.
Okay.
There was a big success, but...
87 was a stacked year, okay? Yeah, it was a stacked year.
There was a lot
happened in 87, man. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Fuentes, why don't you start us off by giving us a little deep dive on what the hell this movie's all about,
please? About Rocky, you son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Anyway.
Oh, Predator tells the story of an elite paramilitary rescue team, led by, of course, the one and only Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger,
mm-hmm.
on a mission to save hostages from dangerous guerrilla soldiers in a Guatemalan rainforest. Oh, poor hitting Jim's uncles over there.
I hope you're listening.
And I hope all your theos, they do the bad people.
For legal reasons, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Do not listen to that woman. Dutch and his men embark on their mission, they are suddenly hunted down one by one by a technologically advanced alien with top-tier hunting skills. Mm. Whew, very top-tier.
Yeah.
Predator is known amongst film fans as a classic action film with strong sci-fi and horror elements. Known for its action scenes, famous catchphrases, creature designs by the one and only motherfucking Stan Winston,
yep.
and of course much, much more, Predator is held as an iconic piece of cinema. It spawned a pretty large amount of sequels, a lot of fucking sequels.
Yeah.
Video games, which are surprisingly good, and comic books, of course, mm-hmm. which I've heard are pretty good also.
Mm-hmm.
But where did such an idea come from? The answer, weirdly... Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers, I'm kind of seeing the thing.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
There was a joke circulating in Hollywood that Rocky Balboa had run out of opponents to fight and that he would need to fight an alien for there to be a Rocky V instead of that fucking one other guy. Yeah. What was his name? Tommy something?
Tommy Gunn?
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Worst a Rocky villain, for sure.
The whiniest, muscly dude I've ever fucking seen in my life. Anyways, ultimately, the Thomas brothers saw this and went and wrote a screenplay based on this very one offhand joke. Way to go, guys. That's how you do it sometimes.
That's how you do it.
Oh, yeah. The Thomas brothers envisioned a film where a tough guy would have to go toe-to-toe with an alien with the strongest set of hunting skills.
Mm-hmm.
What a good... See, these one-line premises fucking work.
Yeah.
Ooh. Originally titled Hunter, this flick would focus on a group of alien hunters of different species seeking different targets. This concept was brought down to just one alien hunting the most dangerous species, humans.
Uh-oh.
Especially combat soldiers and not Wall Street brokers and political corrupt politicians. Yeah. Not as dangerous as, yeah. as the combat soldiers.
The pawns, not yeah. the not the ones on the other side of the chessboard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the yeah. pawns.
Yeah, you don't want capitalism to, yeah. to fucking get you a predator. The setting was chosen to be in Central America due to the real-life conflicts going on at the time, like CIA-backed coup d'etats.
Yeah. Man. Reagan era for sure.
Oh yeah, like
Reagan era 80s.
1987.
Good old yeah. Reagan. Like, oh, did we actually fund mm-hmm. all those guerrilla forces that yeah. are now destroying the people? I can't remember shit.
Yeah,
I can't yeah. remember anything. If I did it, ah, my fucking bet.
You're gonna blame me for something I said yeah. yesterday.
Nancy, help! That is late 80s Reagan, everybody. That's just how it went. So. Oh, yeah. Jim and John Thomas, again, not Jane and Jerry and Jerome, didn't have many...
Jamal.
You racist bastard. What?
There's Jesus a Jerome Christ. In there, too.
All right, let's just throw the Jerome in there, in the Thomas family. The Thomas
family's pretty big. Oh, their shitty cousin Clarence, anyway. So, Jim and John Thomas didn't have many Hollywood connections and struggled in getting their screenplay to the right eyes. They even tried the old slip your script under the door of a famous Hollywood exec trick, but that didn't work because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, very, very, very stringent, hardworking Mexican cleaning ladies. They will not let that shit happen.
The famous trick.
Oh, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, fun fact, that producer would go on to produce Predator... Too. Yeah.
So a little more backup story on that. Yeah. Like he literally went to his office and goes, "What the fuck is this? Another movie script?" Tossed it in the fucking trash, or he passed it on to like another producer.
Yeah.
That producer who found the script would go on, like, saw the success of Predator 1. He's like, "All right, dude, sequel. Let's fucking mm-hmm. do it."
Damn. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's like a full circle moment, I guess, for that producer.
That's pretty awesome. Okay. Finally, the Thomas brothers managed to get their screenplay in front of Joel Silver,
yeah,
whoa,
yeah.
who had just produced Commando with, of course, Mr. Governator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, we gotta take a shot every time Phil does it.
Arnold.
We're gonna get drunk really fast if we're gonna play that game.
Very, very, very true. Joel Silver read the script and immediately gave the green light to turn this sci-fi alien story into a big budget movie. He brought on co-producer Lawrence Gordon and hired John McTiernan to direct the picture. God damn, Joel Silver was the shit.
Yeah, Joel
he got
Silver
obsessed with the spider.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Seriously, right? Mm-hmm. And then he would also later on in the 90s would produce a little movie with the Wachowskis called The Matrix.
Oh shit!
I'm not familiar.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah it's like a low budget B movie sci-fi flick. Yeah,
not influential at all or any kind of like, cinema post 1998. Nothing like that. No. He did do Wild Wild West also.
He did.
I rewatched that the other day.
You did?
Did.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was just as great as you remember.
Oh, man. I'm kind of down on one. I haven't watched it probably since it came out.
Wild West Zerk, dude. We got to play the music video right before.
We're going straight.
Fucking Drew Hill, dude. Drew Hill had Wild Wild West and Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah. They did. Back to back. Same year, I think.
Have a little love for me. Yep. Oh, okay. I'm just getting too nostalgic here. Anyways, Joel Silver wanted Arnold as the lead, but Arnold had some quote-unquote suggestions to the script. And give us a little Arnold and reading this, please.
Give us your best Arnold, please. If you can.
Oh, fuck. I haven't done an Arnold. No, I can't do it. Clack.
Do you want me to read it?
Do it, Phil. Do it.
Yeah. Predator was on the scripts I read, and it bothered me in one way. It was just me and this alien, and so we redid the whole thing, and so that it was a team of commandos, and then I liked the idea. I thought it would make a much more effective movie and be more, much, much more believable. I liked the idea of it starting out as an action adventure, but then coming in with some horror and science fiction. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Thank you.
Good impression. Yeah. I like that one. Now we gotta do the shot.
All right.
Pause for shot.
Oh, we're pausing. Oh my gosh.
I mean, we can just keep it.
No, we're keeping it in.
Let's keep it going. All right. So while Winster pours us another shot here, this beautifully tasted soju, Alex.
Yes.
Please give us a little more deep dive on pre-production of Predator, please.
Sure, hell yeah. Hey.
Here, cheers. Cheers. Cheers, everybody.
Hey, look at
cheers.
Us.
Cheers. Mmm. Oh, that is
that
good.
That plum is delicious.
It's really, really good.
Mmm.
These monster shot glasses are actually making it even better, too.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I kept them in the divorce.
Yeah. All right. Would you please, Alex?
Say that line in your best Arnold impression. Yeah, right. I kept them in the divorce.
In the divorce. Joel Silver and team.
What's it called, though? What's the title called?
Oh, I'm sorry. Bloodsport.
I know exactly why you put that fucking title. Okay, we'll get to it.
Joel Silver and team were also on the hunt for other larger than life men of action for other supporting roles. Carl Weathers, who was coming off of the Rocky franchise as Apollo Creed, was cast as Dylan, and then WWF wrestler Jesse "The Body" Ventura was brought on to play Blaine.
Yeah, sure, I'll come out in your alien movie anytime you want, Mr. Joel Silver. I just don't want to fight that asshole Hulk Hogan, let me tell you that much.
Is the Iron Sheik going to be cast in this movie? Because if it is, I'm going to have to take him out like right away.
I'm sorry, Alex.
I love the impressions. Joel Silver and team brought on more actors that Arnold had previously worked with on The Running Man and Commando. Actors Sonny Landham and Richard Chavez and Bill Duke were brought on as the remaining team of commandos.
What was his name? Pancho?
Pancho, yeah.
Pancho.
Yeah, it was a multicultural team of, commandos, tough guys.
It was very diverse.
They're all cut big.
Yeah.
They had the two big cut black dudes. They had the big cut Austrian dude. They had the big cut redneck dude. Yep. They had the big cut Native American dude. They had the big cut Latino dude.
Exactly.
And what's her name? Anna?
Anthony Fuentes.
And that's right.
And then they had Shane Black.
Shane Black.
Anna, the woman, she was in good shape too.
She absolutely was. Yes.
You know what would have been great? Freaking, if she was like in her age in the 80s, what's her name? Karen Gillan. She would have been great.
Oh.
But you need it. She needs to be Latina, though.
I was going
to
say,
Anna, my girl, Anna Darmus, former Mrs. Acevedo, she would have been a great Anna. That's so funny.
Because her name's already enough with the fantasies. We are on air.
I know. I'm so sorry. You see how my brain just like trailed away?
He's always one or two thoughts away from an Anna Darmus fantasy.
It's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but 3 degrees of Anna Darmus.
Yep, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. That's why he's learning tarot. He's like, one day I'm going to manifest this shit. Yeah. One day.
I know. I already did.
However, probably the most interesting casting choice was made by the filmmakers when they brought on none other than Jean-Claude Van Damme.
The muscles from Brussels.
To play the Predator itself. Mm-hmm. Which, all right.
this is real. Yes.
Yep, this is real. I remember saying this shit back in the day.
It was stated that Van Damme was brought on to play the creature because his martial arts skills would show the creature to be agile and overall a ninja-like hunter.
There's
a lot of behind-the-scenes photos and raw footage of Jean-Claude Van Damme in the first version of the Predator suit. And let me tell you, I don't know what's worse. Van Damme's Predator suit or Fwen's Arnold impression.
The suit. Mine's pretty bad, but look, if you've seen footage of this suit,
it's ugly.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's like a lean cut, kind of sort of buff version of Grendel Fly from The Fly. Yeah. Like, it looked more insect-like. The creature itself was just ugly, dude. It was very... And the thing was is that they already shot a whole bunch of stuff already using that. So a lot of the close-up shots of the hands is probably from, like, the original, Predator, the Gen 1 version of the suit. But, yeah, very ugly suit. And, continuing. We'll see more about what's going on here.
Mm. So at 5'9", Van Damme's standing in his weird insect-like alien suit next to dudes like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse Ventura, and Carl Weathers discouraged the crew and John McTiernan so much that Van Damme was released from the project.
Damn.
And McTiernan brought on the master special effects creator, Stan Winston.
Stan the man Winston.
So because of this pivot and Arnold's prior commitment to other movies, the production stopped as the team went to work on designing a better and far more physically imposing alien that was going to be hunting these tough guys down. Which, honestly, saved the movie.
Yes. Yeah, for real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Stan Winston, having already worked on The Terminator, Aliens, and The Thing, gave birth to one of cinema's most recognizable creatures that we all know and love in The Predator. Actually, fun fact, while on a plane ride to Fox Studios, Stan Winston began sketches of the new Predator. Also on the same flight was James Cameron, and he suggested that he always wanted to see a creature with mandibles, which did eventually, as we all know, became part of the Predator's look.
Oh, which
I think is very much fun.
Yeah, I love that part. I don't know, man. The reveal of the creature, like, of Predator when he took off his mask.
Yep.
As a kid, it scared the fuck out of me.
Well, he's so menacing, like, before he takes off the helmet. And then once he takes off the helmet, you're just like, Arnold says, you are one ugly motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but that helmet was so cool.
That was such a cool-ass helmet. Oh, yeah. Dude,
pop the helmet off.
Yeah, to this day, it's still a fucking badass creature look design. And even in the sequels, like... Even in Prey, the one that just came out last year, it's still like a badass fucking look to any creature, because it's so cool because you can even play around with it because there's different like species to that race, you know. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, they don't all have to look the same.
I need to rewatch Prey. It was really good.
Prey was awesome. Prey was the best Predator sequel.
I agree with that. Predator absolutely.
Prey is the best Predator sequel. But yes.
God, Predator 2 is such cheesy fun.
Yeah. I recently rewatched Predator 2. It's cool. Dude. It's cool.
Ellie was never that
great. Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. Yeah,
Gary Busey's in Predator 2.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's Bill Paxton.
Oh, okay.
It's like post-apocalyptic LA too, but
it's like 1997.
What is it with Bill Paxton in classic, like,
he played the same character in Aliens too. He played the same, like, almost the same character. It's like snotty, cocky.
Kind of cocky.
Yeah, like, he was the same character in Predator 2.
God, I love Bill Paxton.
Yeah, Predator 2, definitely rewatch or watch if you have never seen it before. It's cheesy as hell, but yes, it is a downgrade from the original, of course, but it's fun as fuck.
It has its own charm.
It does have its own charm. It's got heart.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
And finally, sorry to top it all off, once a new creature design was made, Van Damme was replaced by 7'2" actor Kevin Peter Hall. Holy shit, what a menacing man.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes footage, nicest guy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's always the tallest motherfuckers that are nice.
Sadly, he passed away at like 35.
Yeah.
And right after Predator 2. He came back for Predator 2. And yeah, sadly passed away at a very young age.
He was ballerina trained too, so he had like this graceful way of moving, which was like awesome.
Yeah. But yeah.
R.I.P., buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, stick around as Phil goes deeper on Predator's production.
Oh, Webster, I think you have a paper cut. Dude, you're bleeding.
I ain't got time to bleed. Phil, take it away.
Thank you. That was beautiful, guys. That was beautiful.
There was no way written onto the actual outline.
Great delivery, guys. Great delivery. Great delivery. A+. I love it. All right, so, as the title says, if it bleeds, we can kill it. I think that's my favorite line of that movie.
That's a good one.
Anyway, so production for Predator took place in the jungles of Palenque, Chiapas, Mexico. Not only is it a place in Mexico that I have always wanted to visit, but till this day, you'll find local street vendors selling beautifully handcrafted Predator sculptures and even piggy banks. Nice. My dad actually brought me one a few years back.
He has a little smiley face next to that in the script. It's very cute.
I want to see this fucking piggy bank.
Dude,
it's awesome.
Sick. It's so well crafted. It's like it's like those Mexican piggy banks, but the detail in it is so fucking sick. It's like the Predator holding a skull with a spinal cord and shit.
Dude, they're probably so grateful. Like that movie gave them like an economy. Yeah.
Dude, I recently, actually doing research for this script, I just looked up, like, travel videos. I was like, man, I need to fucking visit Chiapas someday.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's this one travel, Mexican travel vlogger that I follow. She's like, explores, like, all parts of Mexico and, like, all over the world, too. But in her Chiapas episode, you actually see, this came out last year. There's actually street vendors still selling Predator, like, piggy banks and sculptures and stuff like that. And, like, it's so sick. I was like, oh, dude, so that's like the Predator is a local hero.
Yeah.
So Joel Silver was loving the dailies and that he and John McTiernan would watch in the hotel. Production halted for a few days as Arnold had to fly back to the USA to marry Maria Shriver and enjoy their three-day honeymoon. Schwarzenegger made it up to the team by coming back to Predator with a large amount of gym equipment for him, the cast, and the crew to use for the remainder of the production.
Wow.
Yeah, that's such an Arnold thing to do. Carl Weathers even stated in an interview that he and the actors would wake up at 3 a.m. to knock out a good gym sesh right before their call times.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
The testosterone on
yes.
the set
yes.
must have mm-hmm. been overwhelmingly
through the roof.
Obnoxious.
Through the roof.
Yeah, like,
oh,
man,
yeah.
These tacos are fattening them up. And I was like, oh, hold on a second. I got a solution
for
this.
Hold on. Actually, it's so funny you mentioned this. So anyways, Jim Thomas stated in an interview that because of these buff dudes working out together in the middle of the jungle, quote, the phrase manly men was coined during the production of Predator.
I believe
wow.
it.
John McTiernan himself lost 25 pounds while shooting Predator, and that was because he ate a lot of Mexican food, and that caused him a lot of diarrhea. Cha cha cha.
Oh no, no, he's got the choro.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, but there's more stuff about John McTiernan's diarrhea. Like that fool loved Mexican food.
Yeah.
But he knew that his stomach did not agree with it, but he still continued eating Mexican food. Like he always ordered like a whole bunch of food like for his hotel during the set and stuff like
wow.
that. He knew his stomach would not, but he just couldn't fucking.
Sounds really good.
No, see, he's probably been like taco deprived his whole life.
Yeah.
Went
oh,
to
yeah.
LA, went to Hollywood, yeah. He's like, fuck, I've been missing out on some
yeah.
shit. Every
yeah.
New Yorker I know is the same way. When they come to LA, they're like, I can't move back specifically
yeah.
because of the weather and the tacos.
Why do you think we love it so much?
So, cast and crew members said that because of shooting in a real jungle, the terrain was never flat and always on a hill. It was always one leg down, one leg up, causing everyone to get tired easily.
Hmm.
And yeah, real jungles that they shot, real exterior locations. But yeah, it was never, they're always on a hill and all that shit. So I can only imagine how uncomfortable that might have been, especially for anybody wearing the Predator suit, whether it's Jean-Claude Van Damme or Kevin Peter Hall.
Dude, or people with equipment like fat ass cameras and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that too.
Ooh.
Crew members carrying all these big ass lights.
Oh, the boom
everywhere.
Mic guy?
Yeah.
He's probably just
oh,
like,
yeah.
oh,
he's like, bro, get me out of here.
He's got like one leg up on the hill. Dude.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh,
oh
yeah, there's even like reports too, like there was like leeches and rivers. It was extremely fucking hot and shit like that.
Mm.
And at night it would get even really fucking cold. They had to bring in these big ass heat lamps and shit. So yeah. Working with Kevin Peter Hall during the climactic fight scene, Arnold stated that Kevin was unable to see in the Predator suit and would legit slap or punch him in the face during the fight scene.
I punch you.
Yeah. So Kevin Peter Hall stated that Predator, quote, wasn't a movie, it was a survival story for all of us, end quote.
Damn.
So when it came to visual effects, the filmmakers used very creative techniques in bringing the Predator's invisibility effect and the Predator's POV to life. Instead of a green screen suit, someone on set would wear a bright red suit in order to reference the invisible Predator as they remove the red in post.
I remember seeing
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So a company, this company called R. Greenberg Associates was the company that brought in the optical effects, thermal vision point of view, the glowing green blood, and the electrical spark effects.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's some iconography they created right there,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yeah,
that
for real.
Is.
I mean,
look.
The thermal like POV
yeah.
stuff was very, like, I mean, it obviously became iconic
yeah.
for the franchise. But...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever I watched this as a kid, I'd always get scared when it would cut to a POV shot of the Predator's POV shot, because it would always be like,
yeah.
and I was like, fuck, dude. Like, and my dad used to have like a surround sound system in the living
Ooh.
Room, so like that shit would be even extra louder.
Oh, yeah. Watching it with surround sound recently,
yeah.
the
oh, yeah.
past right now,
oh,
like,
I bet.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I bet, dude. So, Predator is known for a lot of things. The catchphrases, the macho badass characters, the action, the most epic handshake of all time. But, guys, we cannot talk about this film without talking about the epic score by Alan Silvestri.
Oh, yeah.
Just who is Alan Silvestri, you might ask? Well, let me give you a little quick little taste of what Mr. Silvestri's resume looks like. He's composed incredible scores for films like Back to the Future,
right.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump, The Avengers, including Infinity War and Endgame,
Damn.
The Abyss, and yes, even the Super Mario Brothers live-action movie with John Leguizamo.
Holy
yes.
shit.
Fuenster! What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils? Talk to us a little bit about why Predator rules, baby!
You are one ugly motherfucker, I must say. Thanks, Phil. And no one here wants to drink the watermelon White Claw? Huh? This stuff will make you goddamn sexual tyrannosaurs just like me. Winky face. Boy, I had to rank that out well.
That's so good. That's why I asked you, what's your favorite claw? Yeah.
I was like, Tyrannosaurus is plural. Okay. Mm-hmm. Plural. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So, okay. You don't need nostalgia goggles to say that Predator is a pretty well-made film here. No, no, you don't. John McTiernan and Co. and Company put together a movie.
You can say Anco. That's fine.
That combined the action and horror genres. This genre mashup was something unexpected. From film fans, actually. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to genre mashup later. But first, let's start discussing the legacy of Predator.
Yes.
Now, Entertainment Weekly named Predator as the 22nd greatest action film of all time and quoted, Arnold Schwarzenegger has never been as manly as he was in this alien-hunting testosterone fest.
See? Entertainment Weekly agrees with me. It's a testosterone fest.
It really is, though. Yeah, no, I mean, there's no denying it.
It really
is.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely. C. Robert Cargill of Film.com said, one of the great science fiction horror films, often imitated but never properly duplicated, not even by its own sequel.
When I pulled up this quote, it's really dangerously close to what I usually say when I come to, like, I usually say often imitated, never replicated.
Yes.
And then, especially when it comes to Phil's world's famous glizzies that the bros like to make fun of me of.
Oh, yeah.
I make these hot dogs, and I call them, like, the goat of hot dogs. They're just the basic-ass hot dogs with bacon wrapped around it. That's it. But I call them, I have to sell them. I call them Phil's world-famous glizzies.
Yes.
And Leo gives me shades like, oh, dude, I can't wait for Phil to bring his world-famous glizzies, often imitated, never replicated. That's my tagline to Phil's world-famous glizzies. They're just regular hot dogs with bacon.
Yeah, that's a good, actually, too, also. Yeah,
that's my tagline.
See, Robert Cargill is the man who wrote Sinister, Black Phone.
Oh, shit.
Sinister 2.
Oh, I did not know this.
Damn.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, he loves Predator. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I was like, why does that name sound familiar? And I did a quick Google. I was like, that's why I know.
Pull that shit up, Jimmy.
I got you.
That's fucking awesome. I did not know. I literally just saw his name and I was like, oh, that seems like a cool quote.
Probably not much to say about the sequels on his part, obviously. But speaking of sequels, although the sequels haven't really met the same critical levels as the original, but Predator spawned two sequels, two Alien vs. Predator films. A Robert Rodriguez-produced Predators starring Adrian Brody, and also Topher Grace is the villain.
I know. I know.
I love Topher Grace, but man, and Spider-Man 3 back-to-back. I'm sorry, buddy. Picked the wrong roles. And finally, the well-received prequel, Prey, which for some wild reason, it got a streaming release and not a theatrical release. What the fuck? Hulu, you bitches.
Yeah.
Come on.
For real, dude. That movie deserved a theatrical release, man.
We talked about it just before, but like that movie like really took the internet by storm. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it got me to watch it, and I at that point had never seen a Predator movie in my life.
That was so that was your first Predator movie. That's fucking awesome.
Dude. I'm telling you, like that.
Yeah.
Well, I was reading an article about this because Evil Dead Rise was supposed to go straight to streaming. And they vouched for it to go to theaters,
good.
Which now it made over $100 million.
Look at that.
Bam.
Look at that.
Bam.
A decision of the century, dude.
Yeah,
seriously.
It's going to pass the Fede Alvarez remake soon. Mm-hmm. But everybody was like bitching because it was, and I agree with the bitching.
Yeah.
It was like, wait, you took this chance away from Prey. Like,
for real.
People should have had the opportunity to see it in theaters first because it was.
There was so much buzz for Prey when it came out, so much word of mouth, all these like positive reception that I'm like, dude, you guys would have made a shit ton of money. Not only that, I mean, like, fuck, dude, that's a theater movie to see, man.
Dude, I saw on the projection, I was like, God, I feel like with an audience for
seriously,
this shit.
Seriously, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it also, like, it did the movie a disservice because Evil Dead Rise got an incredible marketing budget. And I mentioned that in the review.
Mm-hmm.
And Prey could have absolutely benefited from something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just from word of mouth alone, it did incredibly well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Its streaming numbers were fantastic. So, you know, when we get a sequel, I'm down.
Webster, that's why you need to start the Horrible People's Marketing Agency. Damn.
There you go.
Party. But also, hit me up. Give me a reason to quit my full-time job.
Cut the line. Cut the line. She still needs money. We got to film here.
No, I like my job.
The line, get to the chopper, holds as one of the most iconic lines in film history. I think we say it in the arena often.
Dude, also, for real.
I didn't know I'd been quoting Predator this entire time.
Oh, no shit, really?
Oh, I had no idea what it was from. I just knew it was a Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it's from Predator. Yeah.
Run! Get to the chopper!
It's like one of those lines, like, yeah. I think in my particular age group, like, it's one of those things that, like, kind of just, like,
it's from a movie.
It imbued your cultural consciousness. Yeah. You have no idea what movie it's from because on it at my age, if you were seeing Predator, there was like
it's just cultural osmosis.
It really is cultural osmosis.
Absolutely, for sure. Exactly. So I had no idea what it was from. I just knew that it was said by this guy with it, like this Austrian guy.
Yeah, who could possibly pull off this accent? I don't know anybody. Yeah. Else.
And then he became the governor. Or at that point, he might have just became the governor.
Yeah, it's so funny watching him now, like recite that line. So, like, I follow Arnold on Instagram, and a couple years ago, I think it was during the pandemic, he started doing, like, movie lines, and he would give a shout-out to somebody, like, that, like, is, like, in need of, like, some charity work.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, this is for you, and something, UCLA Medical Center or whatever, just hold on tight, so this one's for you. It's like, put that cookie down! And he'll do another one. He'll do Get to the Chopper. Hey, that was for you over there in... And he'll name a hospital, and he'll like, hey, just hold on tight, man. We're all praying for you or something like that. Arnold's a good guy. Man.
Yeah.
Arnold's a good guy. Good guy, Arnold.
And for you, tell that terminal disease, kill me now!
Come on, I'm right here!
Come on, kill me!
Dude, the part in the honest trailers is when he's like, Kevin McAllister in the jungle. Yeah. He's like, come and get me, you big horse's ass. Like, come on, kill me.
the cut comparison was fantastic.
That was
so good.
I think it was the honest trailers that was saying, like, you might be too young to realize it, but like how Home Alone was pitched as Predator by a kid in New York. Or was it CinemaSins? Because I also watched the
CinemaSins.
So the CinemaSins covered it. And I normally don't watch CinemaSins because I have my own beef with CinemaSins. But
I think a lot of people do. Yeah, that's why I don't watch
it. Well, that's why, but it was so they were just like, oh, throw it. It was like the recommended after, and I'm like, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
And anyway, they were saying how basically Predator, or like how Home Alone was pitched as Predator by a kid.
Wow. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
That's an awesome one.
That is so cool. That's fucking awesome.
Like a kid alone.
We'll come back to that. Just hold on to that Predator formula for our discussion time.
Okay. All right.
Hold on to it.
I mean, to really solidify, though, the legacy here, good old June of 87. Predator was released in the theaters again in June of 87, and it was number one on its opening with a $12 million opening weekend, and would later on gross $98,267,558
buckaroos. Yeah, look
at that. Webster, I got a score to settle.
We both got scores to settle. Rotten Tomatoes scores, that is.
That was good. I like the transition line. So that's nice.
Thank you.
There's something out there waiting for us, and it ain't no man. We're all gonna die.
I fucking love that line. What's his name? Billy? He's like scared shitless, right? And he's like, there's something out there. He's like, what's wrong with you? He's like, I'm scared, man. And then, I think it's Pancho. He's like, man, you're not scared of no man. He's like, there's something out there. There ain't no man. He goes, we're all gonna die. When I rewatched it, I was like, I forgot how like cold and like terrifying that delivery is. You can see it in Billy, how fucking like there's something spooking him.
Definitely. Oh.
Yeah.
So Predator hunts its way into fans and critics with an 80% on the Tomato meter and an 87% audience score. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting it to be higher, but that is fine.
You know what? Me too. But it's all right. 80s cool. Yeah, I guess.
Mainly 80s, losing 87. Bam, scores reflected.
There you go.
Yeah, right. So our boy Roger Ebert said, quote, Predator moves at a breakneck pace. It has strong and simple characterizations. It has good location photography and terrific special effects. And it supplies what it claims to supply, an effective action movie. Unquote.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is as complimentary as I think it's going to get.
Yeah, I think so. From Roger Ebert? Yeah.
Chris Hewitt of Empire said, quote, Predator has gradually become a sci-fi and action classic, and it's difficult to see why.
It's not difficult.
Oh, sorry, Jesus Christ. I was like, wow, that's hard. No, let me do that again. Predator has gradually become a sci-fi and action classic, and it's not difficult to see why. John McTiernan's direction is claustrophobic, fluid, and assured, staging the action with a plume, but concentrating just as much on tension and atmosphere. A thumping piece of powerhouse cinema. Good God, this man had his fucking...
Oh, yeah. He had some things to say.
He had the thesaurus.
No, but he's true about what John McTiernan did behind the camera. Yeah. The claustrophobia, the fucking tension. Dude, there's this, like, Stanley Kubrick-style zoom shot when Billy's, like, it's like something's got Billy spooked. And so, like, Arnold will walk up to Billy, he's like, Billy, what the hell's wrong with you? He's like, there's something in those trees.
Yeah.
And they're both looking, and the camera zooms in, and you're looking for, like, a sign of the Predator, and you just don't see shit.
As the audience are, like, in there with
But them. I remember, like, that's an intense shot. Like, as a kid, I'm watching that, and I was like, what the fuck is it? I don't see shit. And, like, what's so funny is I rewatched this movie just for, like, the 80th time while, like, doing research for this one. Like, 35-year-old Phil's like, where the fuck is it? I still can't see it, right? And I'm like, but I don't know. It's got me all the tension when they build the booby trap for it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, everyone's like, stop. And I was like, oh, shit, what is it? And then, like, finally it catches the Predator and, like, the music. When fucking Bill Duke kills the fucking the pig, the warthog.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, there's really good use of tension here, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I like how it's such an open environment, it does feel claustrophobic. And again, shot on film.
Yeah.
Action movie shot on film just look like something else. Yeah, they just it's hard to replicate that. It really is.
And it's and the fact that it's just like a group of like these big, buff, like powerful dudes are scared shitless. Yeah. That's what, like...
A bunch of beefcakes getting scared. Like, if I was there, that's what's happening.
Yeah, if I was there during, like, the raid when they're just knocking all these, like, you know, Guatemalan soldiers, I'll be like, hell yeah, I feel safe as fuck with these guys. Mm-hmm. But when I see them scared shitless because of something in the trees, I'll be like, oh, fuck, fucked too. Oh, looks like I'm gonna die too.
Hell yeah. So, after that, let's... Oh, sorry, I missed...
Audiences.
Oh, yeah. So, audience gave the film also a cinema score, an average grade of B+. So
it's
not bad.
Yeah, it's been around forever.
After that, let's take a look at Phil's favorite thing in the movie community: Letterboxd reviews.
Letterboxd reviews.
Phil's boy, Phil's boy, Patrick Willems, with 4.5 stars, says, quote, whoever had the idea to mash up slasher movies with roided out action movies deserves a Nobel Prize.
Yeah. This fun fact is that he did an entire video essay on how The Predator is a brilliant use of genre mashup. And it's really cool. I'll link it up to you guys.
Okay.
Yeah,
please okay.
do. Yeah.
Sydney, with 5 stars, says, quote, working class versus the rich, analog versus digital, man versus his fear, humanity versus the future. A small miracle that something this bizarre, moody, philosophical is popular enough for sequels and action figures. Even the macho one-liners seem hollow in retrospect. Something that looks impenetrable to be slowly stripped away like, well, skin.
Yeah.
Okay, Sydney.
God damn.
Sydney likes the movie.
Sydney has something to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have Chris Evangelista with 4.5 stars saying, quote, that montage where Arnold is building a bunch of jungle traps while the Predator cleans some skulls is the reason movies were invented. Unquote.
Good montage.
I fucking love that montage, dude. And the music. And, like, at the very end, like, the music tenses up. And then you just hear fucking Arnold doing that fucking, that check. Like, dude, it's a great fucking montage.
Was that supposed to take place over hours, days?
They needed a nighttime climax. Yeah. So that's why it took whatever time it took.
At the end of the movie, he makes it to the chopper with the girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I think she was just waiting for
it. So they were just waiting for the chopper?
She just been, I think this is overnight.
She was just like, no.
There's still
wait
one
for,
dude.
Wait for Dutch. Wait for Dutch. Yeah. There's no way they killed this behemoth of a man.
I'm pretty sure it was like overnight. Yeah, like he built all those traps in like 3 hours.
Gotcha. All right, cool. And finally, Justy with 4 stars saying, quote, Everything was fine until the Predator decided to drop the most horrifying laugh in cinematic history.
Oh, yeah.
That laugh, ooh, dude.
That actually...
He was imitating Billy's laugh, but yeah, like, you know, all distorted and, yeah.
I remember seeing that as a kid for the first time, and that laugh scared the shit
out of me. My dad showed me this movie when I was a kid, and he would always, like, at barbecues, he'd be like, "Hey, Coco, hey, Lily, this is the Predator laugh. How does he laugh?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, okay, you're doing the Predator laugh. All right, cool."
No, I'm trying to sleep, Dad.
It's like, I'm six, dude. Leave me alone.
Phil.
Oh, shoot.
You.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, whenever you drop the cringiest jokes I've ever heard in my life, you know what I do?
What do you do?
I look at you, and I think, what the hell are you?
Oh, man.
So why don't you close it off and tell us why you think Predator rules?
Oh, well, let me tell you something right now. Stick around. thanks, Webster. Fwen mentioned earlier about the genre mashup that Predator utilized. And so let's take it back to the 80s, all right? Good old 1980s.
Yep.
Some of us were born in the 80s. A lot of shit went down in the 80s. However, the 80s was an insane time for genre films. Predator starts off as like this macho action film with gunfire, explosions, and cheesy one-liners, of course. Then, suddenly, it pivots into a goddamn slasher with lots of horror imagery.
Mm.
Yeah, the people with their flesh being stripped away, mm-hmm. I was just like, I had that thought too, where I was just like, this is a goddamn horror movie.
That's why we're covering it.
So like, and obviously you see genre mashup movies like later in the 90s with like a fucking perfect example, From Dusk Till Dawn, you know, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That starts off as one movie and turns into something else.
It's two exactly. movies, it's yeah. so
good. So, in the 80s, thanks to the GOAT, John Carpenter's Halloween, the horror slasher was in business. And business was booming, baby. From Friday the 13th to Nightmare on Elm Street to Sleepaway Camp, all etc., etc., etc. The slasher film was making a lot of noise in the 80s.
We covered all of those. We covered all of those.
That's why.
Episodes of the Horrible People's Podcast.
That's exactly why I listed those on the script. So, the same can also be said for the action movie genre. From Sylvester Stallone flicks like Rambo and Cobra. By the way, Cobra fucking rules. To Lethal Weapon and Commando and, of course, Roadhouse. So, absolutely. Pour us another shot, please. Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you. Hey, it's really good.
Yeah,
really
shooting good. Soju while we record. What could possibly be
wrong? Oh, man.
The impressions get better.
So, all right, here we go. You guys ready? I'm doing the cheers.
Let's do it. Cheers it. Cheers it.
Cheers it to action films and horror films.
That's right.
Cheers. Cheers, y'all. Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Mmm. Mmm. That's really good.
Mmm.
Oh, but anyways, as I was saying about action films and horror films, both of these genres had their own audiences and they had their own tropes. But it was in Predator when John McTiernan combined both of these bad boys. Instead of a group of horny and powerless teenagers, Predator substitutes that with a group of the strongest, deadliest, and most powerful dudes who are tactically skilled in combat, baby. They're not going to do something stupid like, hey, let's split up, or start fucking in the middle of the jungle when there's a scary monster killer on the loose, but that would be an interesting sight to see.
Save it for the sequels. Save it for the sequels.
So if Randy from Scream were to teach us how to survive Predator, he would say something like, quote, Predator replaces sex with violence, okay? Sex, or I can't do a Randy impression. Mm-hmm. But if Randy from Scream was going to teach us anything on how to survive Predator, he would say Predator replaces sex with violence. So in a horror film, if you're having sex, you're screwed. In Predator, if you're killing, you're screwed. Example. When Anna was reaching for the rifle, Arnold kicked it off her hands because he didn't want the Predator to hunt her because there's no sport in killing her. What a fucking gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You did a pretty good Randy impression right
there. That was, yeah, you were good in there.
Thank you. Thank you.
You just have to sound passionate and, like, a little crazy.
But I do feel like...
You cannot have sex or cannot do drugs. No, it's a sin. It's a sin. All right. All right, then that's it. That's
sometimes
it.
The Randy, the Venn diagram is almost a circle when it comes to Phil.
Sure. Dude, there's no relatable character in not just horror, but I think in movies in Randy for me. Like, anyways.
I think every person who's ever made a movie podcast has related to Randy.
Absolutely. At 100%. No,
I think we're all a little Randy.
Yeah, he set the tone. He set the tone for sure. He set the bar for sure. So, but what happens when this group of powerful soldiers are completely scared shitless of something that's killing them off one by one? The scene when they unload on the jungle and hit absolutely nothing. The terror in their eyes. Chef's kiss, baby. That is like some good, scary imagery right there. Just seeing like the strongest, most badass dudes scared shitless.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, my favorite horror trope that Predator showcases, the final girl.
And Arnold's just...
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I've been saying it for years, and I will take it to the grave with me, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of my favorite final girls in cinema. He's definitely up there with Jamie Lee Curtis, Sigourney Weaver, and Nev Campbell. Dude, that's like my top... Those are my top five final girls of all time, for sure.
Absolutely.
There's another like argument that I've seen where it makes Arnold Schwarzenegger like a Disney princess.
Oh wow!
By like stretching logic, and it's
for Predator or for another movie?
No, a different movie.
Okay.
And I don't know what the logic is, or I don't know if it's Arnold or if it's like some other like it just like macho dude where it's just like, oh no, you are now a Disney princess based on this logic.
I think it might be Sylvester Stallone with Rocky because of the Rocky story of like a poor man coming up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could very well be. But
Rocky is Cinderella with like
this I was fight. Just gonna say Cinderella. I was just gonna say Cinderella for sure.
But dude's getting punched in the face.
Yes.
Then
I was just gonna say
Sylvester
Cinderella.
Stallone's a dinner.
That's so funny. And also, let's not forget the beautiful end credits where you can add another song from literally another movie or TV show and it will be hilarious.
Thank you for bringing this up.
Oh, yes.
When I watched this movie for the first time yesterday, I lost my goddamn
shit.
It was
so good.
I was like, what?
What is going on?
He made it to the chopper.
Yeah.
And like, he's just like, he's like there. He's like, I made
it. Fades to black.
Yep. And then all of a sudden we get this, everywhere you look, everywhere. Like, I was just like, what the?
I was thinking Mentos commercial.
Yeah.
Almost a Mentos commercial.
Dude, I love how like everyone looks into the camera and they're doing something silly to the camera. Like just even turn, except for Arnold. Arnold just goes, like all fucking dramatic.
Your simultaneous turn was
fantastic.
It's
right so
there.
Good.
That was really good.
Yes, it freeze frames to Arnold like looking serious, like he's everybody is like breaking the fourth wall, like saying what's up to the camera, except for Arnold. It's so good, dude.
Jesus.
Dude, there is you can literally go on YouTube and there's tons of like edits of like a song being thrown in during the Predator end credits.
Wow.
And it fucking rules. Like, it works on so many levels.
I can imagine. Wow.
So, guys, that's, you know, one of many reasons why. But, like, that's, for me, this movie fucking rules. And I love it. But let's hear from you guys. Discussion time. Yeah? Discussion time?
Let's do it.
Thoughts on Predator. Let's go first. Webster, you just saw it for the very first time. Very intrigued on what you thought.
I liked it. It was fine. It was fun. I can see where all the one-liners came from and how, like, just, like, everyone fucking turned them into memes. Like, just, like, you son of a bitch. And just, like, the hand grasping. And then also doing an arm wrestling, just, like, in the air.
In the air. They're just, like...
I was just, like, wow, this is very macho.
Yeah, it is.
In the beginning, I was just, like, oh, because I've seen Terminator, obviously. But I was just like, oh, I don't think Arnold Schwarzenegger can act that great. Like, I don't think he's that great of an actor.
Yeah.
I think he's just playing himself. But I was more convinced by later in the movie. Like, he did a good job. I had fun.
Yeah.
He fit his character very well.
Apparently the guy's like super, he's super, like he may not have like the best acting chops, but I saw in preparation for this episode, I saw like a lot of like documentaries, like video, like bonus features and featurettes on like the making of it. The dude was super fucking charming. Like, he is kind of like, literally like how Dutch is with his team. He is like that with the cast and crew. He took care of like a lot of people. He had like, he had cigars. He would always smoke his cigars. He's iconically known for smoking cigars. And during the production of Predator, like, you know, he's all, he's getting direction by John McTiernan. And he pulled a prank on Jesse Ventura. So Jesse Ventura was like, yeah, Arnold's a cool guy, but I got bigger arms than that guy, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, he said that Jesse Ventura said that he borrowed a shirt from Arnold and his arms were, and it fit him way too loose. Like, the arm section is like, yeah, like, he's like, what the hell? He's like, how is that possible? And he's like, I stretch, and then it cuts to Arnold being interviewed. Arnold said, I stretched it out even more because I wanted, like, I wanted Jesse Ventura to know that I have bigger arms and stuff like that. But in reality, he's got bigger arms than me. And so he was, like, totally cool and humble and shit like that. But he's like, I just didn't want Jesse to know that. And so, like, he was totally cool with, like, he was cool. He took care of everybody. He was, like, making sure everyone's, like, working out, like, eating well and shit like that.
He always seems very diplomatic.
Yeah. And, like, I don't think he was a producer on this movie at all, but it felt like he was. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was just making sure everyone's cool. He seemed cool. Like, Carl Weathers even said that, like, yeah, he's always smoking his cigars and I always never touch tobacco. And then, like Arnold was like, oh, if you don't like it, I'll go. He's like, no, it's okay. He's like, by the way, let me try one. And so Carl was like, so I ended up smoking stogies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, and then I was like, I didn't touch him, man. He wanted one. I just gave him one, you know. Like, I offered to stand away. But, yeah, no, there's, like, a lot of, like, funny shit that went down in the production of Predator.
Yeah.
And the gym stuff, like, coming back. Like, he went to go get married. He was gone for, like, a week. Came back with, like, pallets and like a cargo fucking set of like gym equipment for everybody to work out in and shit.
I bet that made them all like fucking amped though, right before a set time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They would like so there's like other interviews of like just the cast and crew. Like that's how you see the chemistry between everybody in it because they will always be working out when the cameras weren't rolling. That's why you could see the chemistry on the set on screen for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, definitely.
So. Yeah. It was pretty cool. So, you dig the movie?
I did. I actually did enjoy it. I didn't... It felt a little bit longer to me. The funny... The honest trailer thing where it's just like where half of the movie is just staring at the jungle in silence. Like, I was like... I felt that.
Dude, it's only an hour 47.
Yeah. I know, but it felt longer. Yeah. Like, because like there were some parts where I was just like, okay, I get it. We're staring at the jungle. We're scared. We're confused. But I did overall, I enjoyed it. It was very fun. I could see where a lot of the one-liners came from that everyone, like, it was cool to see, like, that, like, cinema history. Like, obviously, we were talking about it earlier where I was like, I didn't know this is where Get to the Choppa came from.
Stick Around was improvised. I forgot to mention that.
That's fantastic.
Stick Around was totally improvised by Arnold.
That's a pretty last action hero level line right
there. Oh, and the beautiful... Oh, I'm so glad you brought... I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought. Wow. I'm so glad you brought up last action hero.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, I am so glad you brought up Last Action Hero.
Phil, we are of the 90s. We know
John McTiernan. He is a great fucking action filmmaker.
Yeah.
The dude has done some really, really good shit. Did fucking Die Hard. Mm-hmm. So check it out. Last Action Hero was another collaboration with him and Arnold.
That's right.
Which he went back to, he's directed some really insane, awesome action films. But Last Action Hero, I think, is my favorite. I recently watched it with Jim. About a year ago. Not even a year ago, dude.
I don't want to watch it again.
Dude, have it a rewatch. It is so fucking good. It is meta before meta, dude.
Yes.
Like, it is absolutely. Like, dude, I think it's my favorite Arnold movie, and it's really well shot, and the glorious fucking explosions and the action shots. Mm-hmm. It's a Last Action Hero is essentially a parody of the action film genre. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
Highly.
It's about a kid who has a golden ticket where he can go into the movie.
It's the Scream of action movies.
It's literally the Scream of action movies.
Yeah.
So the kid, this like, what, 10, 12-year-old kid, he has a magic ticket where he can break into the universe of that movie. So he can literally walk into the screen, and he's walking into another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. But the character's name is Jack Slater. He has no idea that he lives in a made-up world. Mm. He is a character in the movie. It's so fucking good. I mean, as a kid, I loved it. But I'm watching it now as an adult. I'm like, dude, this movie's smart. Like, it's
so intelligent.
It's like,
it knows the fucking rules.
Dude, and it bombed.
Ian McKellen's in this
bitch. Ian McKellen plays fucking death, baby. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Good old Tywin Lannister.
Tywin Lannister. Dude, if God was a villain, he'd be me.
Yeah.
Dude, that fucking line is so hard.
I just shot someone.
And I did it on purpose.
Hey, shut up over there. Shut up over there.
Dude. This movie has a whopping 40% on
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh,
check it's, that it's, audience it's, score. Check yeah. that audience
check
score.
Check the audience score, yeah. I think that's what really matters in this. Because, yeah, it bombed in the box office.
Yeah.
And the critics hated
the
it.
The critics hated it.
Because I think it was just like a Gremlins 2 meta, dude.
It was
like
way...
audience score's 47, baby.
Okay. Oh, well, stupid. Well, listen. That? Well, listen to the Fuen and Phil score.
Letterboxd?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Letterboxd will say something cool about it. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Maybe Twitter. Twitter's like, let me tell you why Last Action Hero is a misunderstood gem.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think it is. But anyways, I don't know. I'm so glad you brought up Last Action Hero because that's another John McTiernan masterpiece.
We might not get another John McTiernan opportunity in this podcast, so please, need to.
We need to get it out of our that system right now. Fuen, thoughts on Predator, please.
Oh, this is a stone cold fucking classic.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Yeah.
Probably maybe 5 to 10 years.
Oh, wow. It's been a while.
A long time. I forget. I used to watch this shit so much as a kid, though.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly as a kid. Like, I didn't see it as much in the teenage years.
Yeah.
But as a child, I remember specifically what always freaked me out was when Arnold... And it would get me every time. Is when he's like, kill me now.
Kill me.
And like, he's trying to get the predator to go into his trap.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'm going to go around.
Yeah.
Kid me is always like,
he saw the fucking spikes. Yeah,
yeah, but the second trap, I celebrated every time. I was like fuck buddy, have the backup. Fuck yeah. Like I said up top, I was always a Predator 2 stan because I was older when that came out, so I understood it more as like it was a more recent film. I saw that more than this one. And I've been wrong for like 30 years. So I've been wrong for a long time because this movie is so well paced to me. It is a very unique setting that the sequels have tried so hard to replicate.
They just can't.
Prey's the only one that can't.
Dude, Shane Black directed The Predator that came out in 2018, and it fucking sucked.
He could not get.
Dude, I was so excited for The Predator that came out. We had what's her name? Olivia
Munn was in
Olivia
there.
Olivia Munn.
Michael Key was in there.
Yeah, dude. It had a whole bunch of actors in there. And I was like, dude, this looks fucking awesome. And it's directed by Shane Black. He was in the first one. Like, it's gonna do right. And then, like, dude, this sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it fucking sucked, man.
I mean, they keep trying to do it, dude. That, like, the thing about the Predators, or Predator, not the Predator, but Predator, is that it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. It's a commentary on what's happening at the time, but in a way that's not, like, forced.
Yeah.
Exactly. The thing about this movie, it wants to tell a good story and show you some shit blown up before it wants to make any other kind of statement.
Yeah.
And I think, again, similar to what we were talking about last year with Deep Blue Sea, a lot of movies lose that motivation and trying to be more than what, I don't know, their genre really has it's they're stretching it too much.
Yeah.
The capacity is not there for it. Predator knows what it is. It's a very good movie. I love it. I'm going to rewatch it way more now that I've seen it after so many years.
Definitely.
And again, this is one of those movies that is an argument. I was never like film versus digital guy. This movie's a film, film. Like
absolutely.
This looks good.
It looks good.
Shot on film. But you can't do a digital version of this.
Sorry to cut you off, but there's a very beautiful shot after Carl Weathers takes a shot from the Predator, knocks out his whole fucking arm.
Yeah.
There's a shot where after Carl Weathers is done yelling in agony, he stops yelling and the camera starts rotating around him.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like in slow motion. It's like a slow motion shot, but it's it's like zooming in and arching around Carl Weathers as he's turning around at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the Predator also like running and he's like invisible mode. And you just see his fucking claws just going. I was like, dude, that's some beautiful fucking shots.
That's some
right
editing
there.
Right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's really
like,
good
that's,
editing.
That's,
the
it's a
music.
Very,
Alan Silvestri went hard on this. He had no business going hard on it, but he did.
It's such an intentional film with every little part of it.
Waste
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only issue I would have with it is a little long, and it is two different movies.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely becomes a different movie later on. Well, not even later on. Like, the first third's a whole different movie versus what it becomes.
Well, the first third is just, like, a very macho, like, action flick.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a sci-fi horror film.
Yep.
And that's where it's, like, too almost exposition heavy, and then it becomes, like, this is almost art now. What the fuck?
As soon as there's this crane shot from that that starts from the bottom of the tree. Mm-hmm. The camera goes up, 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 and then you see Shane Black's hanging dead body.
Yeah,
that's where it pivots.
Oh yeah,
into a fucking. That's where you're like. That's where, like, oh, some scary shit's about to go down right now.
You're like, I'm used to being everything fed to me, but now they're going to tease me, and I'm scared because I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the general through line. So, no, great movie. Fantastic film. I'm so glad I saw it again, and I realize now, watching this first one, just how much the sequels pale in comparison, despite me having a soft spot for two because it's so goddamn cheesy.
Yeah.
And that also makes me respect Prey more because Prey's the only one.
Yeah.
That understood what this movie had to offer and made it its own.
Yeah.
So, Prey,
seriously,
very commendable film for sticking to the basics.
You know what's so cool about Prey is that the original cast, like, tagged, I'm so sorry, what's her name? Amber, the girl from Prey. They tagged her and they're like, hey, we just watched Prey and we fucking loved it. Thank you for carry on the Predator legacy. You're doing great, kid. Blah,
that's
blah,
what
blah, blah,
I'm
blah.
Talking about
and
right
I was
there,
just like,
man.
That's fucking awesome.
Amber Midthunder.
Midthunder, there you go. Sorry. Yeah. And she was awesome too. And she would like, when I was on Twitter, I used to follow her on Twitter and she would like retweet, like, she would like, when Jesse Ventura said something positive about Prey, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And she would like post shit like, oh my God, so and so said this. Like Shane Black said this about Prey, and like he tagged me. Like she was so stoked that the OG cast and crew of Predator was like tagging her, praising her, and praising the movie too. And it was just like, that's fucking awesome. But yeah, anyways, so all right, thoughts on Predator? We got that already.
What about you?
What
your
about
thoughts?
Your thoughts?
Well, I already kind of said some already. I mean, I love the fucking movie. Honestly, aside from some things, honestly, I think the honest trailer. Did something to me, and it really made me wish that we never saw the alien spaceship in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, dude, if they didn't show us that, I would have been like...
It would be a different movie.
Yeah. It would have been like, oh, shit, there's... All right, because we'll be in the not-know as the commandos were also, you know, with the commandos. But the fact that we already knew something that they didn't...
Yeah.
I was like, dude, how cool would it have been if we have never have seen that spaceship land on Earth in the beginning? So that's like my only gripe with the film. But other than that, I fucking love it. Aside from like, dude, I did watch the movie as a kid and it scared the fuck out of me as a kid. And I thought it was really cool. Yeah, it was creepy as fuck, especially when you finally see the Predator remove his mask and he's doing that creepy laugh.
He's doing the mandible thing.
Yeah. As a kid watching that, but now like as an adult, I appreciate the fuck out of it even more now because I'm just like, dude, this, and then doing the research for this, shooting in a real fucking location, like shooting like, I think the only set that was built was probably the very final jungle scene right before the Predator started self-detonating his fucking bomb. I think that was like probably like the only set there. Everything else is pretty much real. But yeah, no, I mean the fucking, the dialogue was cool. The catchphrases, Arnold, fucking Bill Duke, everybody, Carl Weathers was something.
Great cast.
Yeah, great cast. Great cast. Honestly, seriously. John McTiernan, dude, right after this, at his next film would be Die Hard. So like, you know, that guy just goes on.
What was his first movie?
I've never seen it. And it's called... I forgot what... Can we pull that up, please? Webster up. So sorry. Yeah. I forgot the name of McTiernan's
first movie. I literally had his, like, IMDb pulled up.
Oh, for...
Yeah, because I was just like, what else did he direct?
Yeah. I forgot his first movie. Damn it. I've never seen it, though. But, yeah, dude. He's done some pretty cool shit, too. And
isn't it wild that we've covered two Die Hard directors within a week of each other?
Nomads. Oh, shit. That's crazy.
Die Hard 2 director was last week.
Oh yeah,
yeah, motherfucking Harlan, baby, Rennie Harlan, yeah.
Oh shit,
Rennie Harlan.
Interesting.
Yeah, Rennie Harlan.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit. So
who directed Die Hard with a Vengeance? Let's see if they made a horror film.
I think that was also McTiernan. I think McTiernan came back for part three.
For Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yeah, with a Vengeance. Oh fuck! Yeah, shit. I don't know how.
Die Hard with a Vengeance was fucking great,
I fucking
great, dude.
Love with a Vengeance.
Love that.
That's my favorite Die Hard
That's
sequel.
That's my favorite Die Hard sequel also.
Yes. For me.
Wow, you guys have so much in common.
We should make out.
You guys should totally kiss it out.
McTiernan's fucking awesome because he's like... Like, you know, he's slick with camera movement. He has a great way. He's a great action director. And, like, the crazy part is, too, is, like, I listened to some of the DVD commentary for Predator, which is, like, available on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he was saying something like, My thing that I really liked a lot is that the part where they just unloaded on the entire jungle, I think that was my favorite scene to shoot because I told everybody, like, all right, you're going to shoot the shit out of this fucking bush.
Yeah.
But after you guys are done, like don't reload. Just look really fucking scared that you just didn't hit nothing. And everybody knew the assignment. Everybody understood. He's like, look, you're going to unload on this bush right here. But after that, Bill Duke, I need you to keep on firing that minigun even though you're out of ammo and you're looking petrified. And he was just like, I need you to sell this thing. And it, like, he went even deeper. And he just, like, his direction that he told the actors and stuff like that, it was pretty insane watching him just speak about, like, what he did for Predator.
That's fucking cool. It makes you realize how, like...
Yeah, he was really involved in how to craft this thing, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Because you think, like, people need direction.
Yeah.
They do.
Absolutely. Ooh. Okay, so, I had another question for you guys. How are we doing on time? Are we good on time? I don't know, I feel like we've been kind of going on.
We're at 112.
112? All right. Okay, peaches and cream. All right, let's go. So, all right. So, all right. So, besides action, what other genre can fit in the Predator formula?
I think it goes without saying, but horror is like the easy genre here.
I mean, yeah. Okay. Like, it's still kind
of
horror.
All right, but let's step out of the box a little bit. I'll give you guys an example.
Okay.
All right. I'm kind of getting this from the Patrick Willems video essay that he put together, but he has a great fucking point. The Predator formula of genre mashing could work with many things, especially with the Predator formula. For example, I know superhero movies are kind of like, we're getting that fatigue right now going on right now.
Yeah, based on the Guardians numbers.
But holy fuck, how awesome would it have been to see a superhero team getting killed one by one by like a villain? Like a Predator movie,
a B team trying to make a name for themselves, and then
they're just getting
Predator fucks them up.
Or what about Avengers meets Predator? You know, like where like Hawkeye just got fucking hung upside down by something, and then like, you know, like a mashup like that would be insane.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys need some time, we can move on. I know it's kind of provoking.
Do you want to talk about like other examples?
Yeah, or like any genre mashup alone would be cool too.
Romantic comedy, let's go.
No, Peacekeeper, I think is a great example.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, fantastic show!
It's a great example, or it's a great combination of like your hero like action movie or like action TV show, but it also has like a lot of like either like horror. It's very gritty. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome.
It's a lot more grounded. Like The Boys.
Also like very serious.
I'm very into that kind of shit right now. Where it's like, because I feel like the MCU has made his like they're afraid to kill people.
They have no balls.
They're so sterilized.
They're very manufactured these days.
Versus shows like The Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I say do a disaster movie with the invasion of the Predators.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Make it like Mass Effect level. Like,
damn.
Oh, we have no chance.
Oh, we're fucked.
Give us an Independence Day like style. Like, shit. How are we as humans going to beat like a mass of these motherfuckers?
Oh, we're fucked.
Yeah. And then do it. Dang. Somehow do it. We can't have Bill Pullman anymore, obviously, but we need another to really motivate the rest of America.
Yeah.
In the world, really.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Okay,
oh.
But can you imagine like a Fast and the Furious version of Predator? Oh,
Fast and the Furious versus Predator?
Yeah.
Just like, damn. Fast and the Furious versus Predator.
Dude, that's...
Tyrese like, one-liners like would be
racing,
fantastic.
Oh, yeah. A movie with the Predator.
Hell no. Did he just fucking destroy my rims?
Oh, man. He can say, like, look, you could rip thy spinal cord out, but you can't hurt my family.
You can't rip out family from my heart. Yeah, or found footage Predator, where they're just like, what's happening? Why is all this shit going down?
Found footage Predator would be pretty cool.
That would be sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, actually.
Oh, my God. This is totally unrelated. But you know the segment in VHS2? Where, like, the kids are, like, running from an alien attack, and it's, like, found footage.
Yeah.
They made a whole movie about it.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it into a feature-length
thing.
I didn't know that they did this.
Wait, what? They did?
And yeah, that's what I'm telling
you. I'm not gonna lie. I still have yet to see VHS 2.
Vegas 2 is the best one, dude.
What?
Yes.
It's so good.
Okay. All right.
No, it's honestly, like, I was surprised that I was always a VHS 1 stan.
Yeah, yeah. I love VHS.
And 2.
Yeah. I still haven't seen 2.
Listen to our review on VHS 2.
Is it on Shudder? Or we're kind of watching it right now.
No idea.
I'm down to kind
of... called Kids vs. Aliens. It's on Shudder.
Okay.
I saw a review that either said it was akin to if that segment had a full thing, or it was the full thing.
No, it is a spinoff.
Oh, okay.
Legit. It's like a legit spinoff.
Okay, he pulled it up.
Okay. Oh, yes. He did. Okay.
Anyway, totally unrelated. You just reminded me of that with found footage.
I want to watch that now.
Okay.
It has a whopping 56% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Could be fun. That means divisive.
Which means it could go either way.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
Wow, okay. So cool. No, watch VHS2, dude. It's really fucking good.
All right. I will definitely check it out. Is that on Shudder?
It is.
Okay. All right. I think I'll check
it out.
I think I'll check it out. Yeah. Probably this week for sure. Okay. I got another fun question for you guys right here.
All
right. Favorite one-liner from this movie?
Stick around, dude.
Stick around?
Stick around.
Dude, the fact that it was improvised. I did not know this until doing research for this. It was totally fucking improvised. And Arnold suggested it to John McTiernan. He's like, hey, I just threw a machete into that guy and he stuck to the wall. What if I just say, you know, I look at him and go, yeah, stick around. And John's like, let's do it.
I like guffawed as I saw it on screen. I was like, oh my God.
See, fuck that one didn't stick with me. You know what did stick with me?
Mm.
Knock, knock.
Knock, knock. That is so good, too. That's a good one.
It's
good one
so also. Bad. He's so like, fucking funny.
It's like literally like, boosh, breaks through the door. Knock, knock. Dude, it's like if you're watching like an SNL parody of action films.
Yes.
But it's in a real action film.
Oh, absolutely. So bad.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That entire sequence felt like just your typical action movie of the 80s. Explosions, people flying in the air from the explosions. Like, actually, John McTiernan said that he wasn't too happy with that shoot, because they were running low on time, and most of it was actually second unit. And he instructed second unit for more camera movement, and it was just mostly just static shots where the camera...
They weren't listening.
And he was just like kind of pissed off of that, but he's like, dude, we just got to run with this. So like, we can't reshoot the entire raid
it's
scene.
It's special effects heavy. Yeah, you can't.
He's like, we can't reshoot. It's like, I instructed for specific camera movement because they were shooting like the other scenes that were going on. And they're just like, but anyways, like, it's still an awesome scene, though. They just, like, it's... Dude, Arnold lifted up this big fucking heavy truck thing that was, like, sitting on these bricks. And, like, he was just using his muscles to fucking create a diversion there. I thought that was fucking insane.
I thought that was a great instance for him just to flex. Because there's a lot of instances where I'm just like, oh, this is just Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to, like, just show off how fucking
absolutely
muscular he is.
Everybody's sweaty. Nobody's...
Everyone's sweaty.
Overhydrated.
The part where all the dudes are like the part where all the dudes are like pulling a tree down with rope, they're all super greased up and they're all just like psh, and they're all like okay, all right,
that's
okay,
the kind of movie
yeah, exactly.
And then you know you miss it, but they're in the back. Phil Acevedo,
yeah, that's me.
He's like that. Those are some beefcakes right there. Those are some beefcakes.
That's a good beefcake.
That's a good beefcake.
That's a good beefcake.
What about you, Phil? What's your
favorite one-liner? I mean, dude. I mean, from the iconic Dylan, "You son of a bitch."
That was my second.
I love that one so much, only because it just leads to like a screen-filled biceps. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
That's one of the greatest handshakes in the history of mankind. But honestly, dude, if it bleeds, we can kill it. And dude, when it got brought up in Prey, I thought it was so cool. When they were tied up in a post by the Colonials, and the brother says, "If it bleeds, we can kill it." I was like, "Fuck yeah, he said it!" I was like, "He said the thing!" I was like, "That's so sick!" And what's so cool about Prey?
I totally forgot that he said that until you mentioned it, and I'm like, "Ah."
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the only
Prey didn't have any major throwbacks that were shoving down your throat at all, except for that one and probably the gun that was handed to them in the post credit scenes. That's the same gun in Predator 2, where one of the Predators throws that gun to Danny Glover. It's the Colonial gun, handgun,
the Predator 2 gun. That's right.
So that's that's probably my favorite one-liner. Okay, another fun question: if the Predator was hunting you, what actor, 40 or younger, would you want to protect you?
I'm trying to see if this actor is under 40 or not.
So I had that same issue because I was like, I don't think I know it. Like, I'm not very.
Know anybody under 40? Yeah.
Okay, 40. Let me make it easier for you, Webster. How old is Pedro Pascal? What is he, like 43?
He's like 43. Yeah,
okay, 42. Fine. Somebody 45 and under. How about that?
Oh, yeah, it's Pedro Pascal.
Easy. Oh, jeez.
I would just say Aaron Paul so we can just call him a bitch the whole fucking time. That's what.
You're not going to get this guy, bitch. Hey, get away from him, all right? Hey, bitch. Hey, I don't care if you're invisible, bitch. I'll fuck you up.
He will science his way to a solution as well, too.
Dude, when he builds a booby trap that Predator falls with, yeah, bitch, science!
Oh, look who's high now.
Yo, bitch, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah, Aaron Paul, give me Aaron Paul.
There he goes, Spicer, you bitch!
I love it.
I'm gonna just say Ana de Armas. She can protect me.
Wow.
There you go. Smooth and simple to this point.
Predator would not kill her.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, I would say Pedro Pascal or, because he's actually 48.
Pedro Pascal's 48?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Right. Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
I like my space Latinos. I don't know.
You do. You like your space Latinos. That's true, right.
Dude, speaking of which, Dune 2. Did you guys see that trailer?
I haven't watched it yet.
You guys haven't watched Dune 1? Do you guys haven't watched Dune 1?
I've seen Dune 1.
Oh.
I haven't seen Dune 1.
Oh, you haven't seen Dune 1.
You haven't seen Dune 1. I've seen
Dune 1. Yeah. Have you seen the trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer for two yet.
Watch the trailer, dude. I can't wait. This shit's hot. No, yeah, when you get a chance, watch Dune.
Watch it on your fucking projector.
Yeah, you need to, dude. I watched it on IMAX. That shit was probably one of the best IMAX films I've seen.
I watched it on my TV, which is decently big, but I still feel like I missed out on seeing it the on scope. a huge fucking screen.
It's definitely a theater fucking movie for sure.
The only thing is that it's long as shit.
Yeah, that's the
thing. It is 3 hours.
Yeah, I'll probably give it a shot soon.
Not gonna lie, there's this overuse of this ancient lamentation music woman.
Do you ever watch Survivor?
No.
Okay, never mind. Survivor, like the TV show, they do every
I haven't watched it, but I know exactly what you're talking
about. Every intro and every outro, it's just someone just like...
Did you watch the Snyder Cut?
Yes.
Every time Wonder Woman would show up, same shit.
Slow motion, the whole fucking thing.
Yep, slow motion, ancient lamentation music. Yep.
Yeah.
So we got ours. Okay, guys, final things right here. Rate Predator out of 5, get to the choppas.
Ooh,
I'm gonna definitely give it absolutely 4 massacred Guatemalans.
You just say it, dude. You hate Guatemalans, man.
No.
Just say directly into the microphone.
I'm just saying, fight Predator better.
You're like Scarface. You're like, I don't like fucking Colombians. For you, it's like I don't like fucking Guatemalans.
So, yeah, definitely it's a solid 4 for me. Okay. I think this is, again, action movie iconography. One-liners are great. Arnold's great. It definitely falls into, the 80s movie tropes and all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. But it does it really well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'd say it's the most solid 4 that I could probably give out there. For me, for sure.
I'm going to give it a 3.5. Dylan, you son of a bitch. Only because I feel like I would have benefited from watching this with someone who actually has seen and enjoyed the movie. I feel like I kind of missed out on that. Again, I feel like I miss out on a lot just because I watch a lot of these movies when I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy it. Yeah. But 3.5 I think is solid. I think it has potential to become a 4 as I rewatch.
I think the more you watch it, the more you 100%. Because there was a time in my life where I've only seen the movie a couple times as a kid, and I was like, "Oh, this movie's really cool," and that was it. Because my dad showed it. My dad was all about this fucking movie.
Oh yeah, dude.
My dad was like, "Oh, we got to throw on Predator."
I'm like, '80s Latino dads love action. Absolutely.
I only watched it a few times as a kid, and I liked it a lot. That was cool, but I didn't watch it again until my 20s. Mm-hmm. So from 8 years old to 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, I was like, dude, I remember watching this a couple times as a kid. This movie is fucking awesome.
Now
I'm still saying the same shit as a 30-something-year-old. I'm just like, dude, this movie still fucking rules.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's not like the super like macho movie either. It's not because it starts off like that for sure. Guys rolling up in Vietnam era fucking helicopters, cigar smoking, machine guns going, explosions. But and then it seems like it's aimed for like a certain specific audience.
Yeah.
Then we pivot to something where like, okay, everybody can enjoy the fuck out of this movie, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I like the fuck out of it. I'm gonna go a little high with this. I'm gonna go 4.5.
Yeah, I respect it.
I love the fuck out of this movie. I thought it was a cool movie as a kid, but watching it now, I'm just like, this movie is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I can see it going higher.
Yeah, honestly, I really, really love it. It's one of my favorite Schwarzenegger films. I think if it was like a basic action film director of the 80s behind the camera, it would probably we would not get that John McTiernan in this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think John McTiernan made like a big effect to this. And the cast, yeah, dude. I mean, honestly, it was just a fucking awesome movie. I love the fuck out of it. It's got so much rewatchability, and yeah, it's just, I love the fuck out of it.
It's a great film.
Yeah, honestly, this is definitely up my road. I love my action films, and I love my horror films, and this is a good mashup right here.
I agree. I'm with it.
Well, I think that's it for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. That was Predator from the glorious year of 1987.
Dun, 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 dun.
If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed and you give us a cheeky little rating on wherever you are getting your podcasts. We are on Spotify or iTunes or wherever else you will get your podcasts. But Spotify or iTunes is where you can leave us a little rating or review. And it does help us and it does help other people find the podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who has done that. You guys are fucking awesome. And just for listening. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, we are going a little bit more contemporary for our monster picks. It's a little spooky, but it's we're going underwater.
I've never seen it, so I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm very interested.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I've never seen this one either.
Mm.
Oh.
We have a fun time next week.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it will be a good one. I've seen it. I think it's kind of fun. And I'm very curious to see what you guys think of it.
Okay.
All right.
So
all right.
Join us next week for that. In the meantime, if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And you can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And you can find Phil on YouTube and Instagram at Phil Acevedo.
Mm-hmm.
As a reminder, we are under the Horrible People's Network. You can find a whole plethora of podcasts to suit your nerdy little needs on Instagram at Horrible People's Network. That is HORRORBLE People's Network. So check us out there as well. And I think that's it for this week. In the meantime, if it bleeds, you can kill it.
So many bloody Guatemalans right there.
Bye!